Hey, welcome to Church Online. I'm so glad that you joined us today. And you know, if you're new here, I want to encourage you to text the number on the screen. Let us know that you're here. We'd love to connect with you. And man, I can't wait to see what God is going to do today through the message, how he's going to speak to you. So let's dive in.
What's up? My name is Chris Highfield, lead pastor here at Grace River Church. I want to thank you so much for watching online at home today. Today we continue a series called Unpredictable Savior. And my hope is you take a next step on your own spiritual journey as you meet, know, and follow Jesus as a result of today's teaching. I want to also give you a heads up, man. Easter weekend is coming up here at Grace River, April 19th and April 20th. That's Saturday, April 19th, Sunday, April 20th, a total of 6 service times. You want to be sure to maybe even come on Saturday, April 19th. It's a way to kind of alleviate some pressure from the crowds on Easter Sunday, and we have food trucks on that Saturday as well, and so you don't want to miss it. It's going to be awesome. You want to make sure to be at Easter at Grace River Church. Today, as I mentioned, we're jumping into a middle of a series called Unpredictable Savior, but before we even do that, I also want to remind you a little bit of our Generations Initiative. The Generations Initiative is what helped us get into the building that we're in today. Started a little over a year ago. We had a goal of raising $1.2 million together as a church to be able to pay for the parking lot expansion. We added 130 parking spots. Also paid for auditorium expansion. We added 130 chairs to our auditorium. And it doubled the square footage in our kids ministry space, also allowed us to expand our lobby as well. So a lot of really cool things have come as a result of the Generation Initiative. And I'm pleased to tell you today, with around 9 months remaining, it's pretty amazing, we're so close to our $1.2 million goal. In fact, we've raised over $979,000 together as a church. Can we just give a yay God for that? No matter where you're watching, we can celebrate that. And what's amazing is we only lack a little over $220,000 to meet our $1.2 million goal. I just want to say, thank you for your generosity. You are an amazing church. Those of you that give regularly to this, thank you for your giving. Maybe you're new to Grace River and you haven't given to the Generations Initiative yet. You've been looking for a project to give towards. This is a great project because this will affect generations of men and women, boys and girls that are going to meet, know, and follow Jesus as a result. So I just want to say thank you for your generosity. You're amazing. And let's keep it up. And I really do believe that over the next 8 or 9 months, we're going to see God meet this goal. So really cool stuff. Today's big idea in the sermon series, Unpredictable Savior, Jesus didn't come for the put together and self-righteous. He came for the messy, the broken, and the outcast. And no one can better portray this than the Gospel of Matthew, the writer of Matthew himself. And today, we're going to talk about the calling of Matthew as a disciple. And again, he is one of the most least likely people. This is why it's so unpredictable. In fact, even the disciples that Jesus would have already called that were fishermen would have been confused because this was an unpredictable pick. It didn't make a whole lot of sense that Jesus would pick this unlikable, this person that was resented by most people to become one of his closest friends and one of his disciples. But what's amazing about this is that today, as we talk about this unpredictable Savior, the title of the day's sermon is that Jesus is a friend to sinners. And that's so important, that Jesus isn't just friendly with the self-righteous, the people that think that they have it put together. In fact, his harshest warnings were for those people. But what's amazing about Jesus is Jesus over and over and over and over again throughout Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John is pointing us to this idea that he is a friend to sinners. So today, if you're listening to this and you're like, man, there is no way that I could be a friend of Jesus. I want you to know something. That's the same thing Matthew would have thought as well. Let's dive into this. Matthew chapter 9, verse 9. So as Jesus was walking along, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at his tax collector's booth. Interesting. He sees a man named Matthew. Matthew himself is writing this gospel. He says this to him, "Follow me and be my disciple," Jesus said to him. So Matthew got up and followed him. And this is really wild. He leaves everything behind. Just like the fishermen who were called, you know, Peter is there and he's fishing along with the other disciples. And Jesus says, "Hey, drop your nets and follow me." And they did it instantly. In the same way, Matthew drops all of his tax collecting stuff, any journals he would have had, any tools he would have been using that day to calculate whatever. He leaves it all behind to follow Jesus. And he immediately does this, which is so cool. And then later, Matthew, this is the really cool part, Matthew invited Jesus and his disciples to his home as dinner guests, along with many other tax collectors and other disreputable sinners. What a party! You have these Jewish disciples that are hanging out with Jesus, who they know their life is not put together, but they also resent Matthew and his tax collector buddies. So you can imagine they're at the dinner table, probably with their arms crossed, a little ticked off, right? You also have Matthew with his new friend Jesus and his tax collector buddies. They're probably sharing stories, talking whatever. And then you also have these other disruptible sinners. So these people that are full of problems, these people that have made mistakes, and here they are having dinner with Jesus. And this doesn't come without some controversy. But when the Pharisees saw this, they asked his disciples, "Why does your teacher eat with such scum?" Wow. Like, this is bigger than why does he eat with sinners? Why does he eat with the bottom of life? Like the people that no one else wants to spend time with. Why is your teacher, why is your rabbi spending time with these kinds of people? And then when Jesus heard this, he said this. I love this. I picture Jesus just reclining back and saying, "Healthy people don't need a doctor. Sick people do." Then he added, "Now go and learn what this means." And he quotes Hosea chapter 6, verse 6. I want you to show mercy, not offer sacrifices, for I have come to call not those who think they are righteous, but those who know that they are sinners. So I just think as a friend of Jesus, there's some things to point out here that I want you to understand. The first thing this, as a friend of sinners, Jesus says this. He sees not only who you can be, but not just who you are. So Jesus looks at you and he goes, man, I see you not just as you are today, but what you could be. And when you think about that, like, that's pretty amazing. That's what he saw in Matthew. He knew that Matthew was made for more than just tax collecting. And what's amazing about Jesus is he knows that you're made for more than whatever it is that you're defined by. Matthew at that time was defined as a detestable, scum tax collector. But Jesus said, no, man, he was made for more. And in the same way, he sees who you can be, not just who you are today. And so you look at this and understand, like, well, what did Jesus see in Matthew? Well, what he saw a guy with a sharp mind. Maybe he could be redeemed for kingdom work. He saw a person that had bold personality and influence. I mean, it would have taken courage to be a tax collector. Like, it would have taken boldness and persistence to do that. And then also a heart that was ready for change. And I wonder if that describes you today. Like, are you a heart that's ready for change? Like, are you at a place, you know, Matthew, although he had money, he probably had a nice house, he had nice possessions, Matthew knew there was something missing. And that's why he was so willing to leave the tax collector booth and follow Jesus. And I wonder today, with all your success, with all the things that you're striving for, is there something inside of you that you realize, man, there's still something that I lack? There's still something that I need. What that is the same thing Matthew was pursuing as well. You need Jesus. And what's amazing is Jesus saw something in Matthew. Jesus also sees something in you. You're not defined by your past or your present. And so as a friend of Jesus, I think it's important that you understand that also he moves towards you, not away from you. What Jesus what sets Jesus apart. And as a friend of sinners, Jesus is always moving towards the broken, not away from them. Look at this in verse 10. Again, later Matthew invited Jesus and his disciples to his home as dinner guests, along with many other tax collectors and other disruptible sinners. Jesus didn't say, "Hey, I can't go hang out with those people." He moved towards them. I think it's actually totally strategic of Jesus, because what he was trying to communicate is, I came for these people. I came for the broken. I came for the ones that know they're missing something. And so there's some things that we do sometimes where we're trying to move away from sinners instead of towards them. Just as Christians, I think it's easy sometimes for us to not take on the attitude of Jesus, and for us instead to pull back and not be close to people that are far from God. What we do is we avoid them. You know, like you maybe have some coworkers, or even maybe some family members that are far from God. And what you can do sometimes, what I can find myself even doing sometimes, is I want to avoid them. We also want to stay in our own little bubble. Now, a Christian bubble is safe, right? It's just this safe place where you can, you know, relate with people, and more than likely they have the same interests that you have. But it's really dangerous whenever you live in a Christian bubble, because you're not able to move towards sinners. We also judge people before we listen to them. You know, another reason why we don't lean in is that we're so full of judgmental thoughts that we can't even listen to their story. What I love about our Savior is I love picturing him at that dinner party. And it's amazing, because he's not saying much. He's just listening. And he's beginning to understand their story. And I wonder today if you and I could take on the heart attitude of Jesus and just listen to people's experiences, that we would listen to their stories and be way slower to react or to say something dumb, and just listen to what it is that God is up to in their life. And then we also hide behind churchy talk. So someone tells you something broken in their lives, maybe they're far from God, and you just simply say something like, "Well, hey, I'm praying for you." Which, by the way, that's not just churchy talk. I believe that is real, right? That I hope that you actually will pray for them. Or you could even use terms like, "Oh, you know, everything happens for a reason," right? Like, we have these slogans that we use, right? And I think sometimes we hide behind that instead of leaning in and going, "How could I help serve you? Like, what is something that I could do to actually help you through the crisis that you're in?" Yes, you should pray, but you should also find a way to serve those who are broken, to serve those who need the help of someone who loves God. And so, as a friend of Jesus, I think that we should move towards them, not away from them, right? So move towards you, not away from you. The third thing is he welcomes you with grace, not judgment. The amazing thing about Jesus is that he welcomes people with grace, not judgment. He's not Judge Judy out there looking for every single problem, every single flaw, every single mistake. He's not at that dinner party telling them, "Hey, you know, you probably shouldn't sleep with that person," or, "Hey, you should probably stop your tax collecting ways." He doesn't do any of that. He receives them with grace. Verse 11, "But when the Pharisees saw this, they asked the disciples, 'Why does your teacher eat with such scum?'" And here's the grace part. When Jesus heard this, he said, "Healthy people don't need a doctor. Sick people do." So why do we look down on people? Like, I think in this story, the Pharisees are that judgmental group of people that we would, like, at the time, they're judgmental Jewish people. But today, in our modern day context, like, we can drift into this ourselves, where we start looking at people and we stop loving them the way God would ask us to love them, and instead we look at them like they're a problem. And here's part of why we do this. Why do we look down at people? Why were the Pharisees doing this? Why do we do this? Well, their past mistakes are public or messy. So it's easy for us to go, "Man, can you believe that? Like, look at the mess that person is. I can't believe she's thinking like that. I can't believe that she's acting like that with everything in her story. I can't believe that she's dressing like that," or whatever. Like, these are easy things for us to pick up on. Or, "I can't believe he is thinking like that. I can't believe he is trying to date her. I can't believe he did this after this happened in his life." And I think sometimes we forget that we're all broken. We forget that we all need Jesus. They don't look, talk, or live like us. That's another reason why we look down at people, is we look at their lives and we go, "Man, they don't act like me. They don't dress like me. They don't vote like me. And so, like, we can look down at people, but we don't know their story. We think they should know better. I mean, we look at them and go, don't they know better? What I want you to understand, if you find yourself a little judgmental sometimes, the answer to this question is they probably don't know better. Like, you're coming at it from a moralistic standpoint, and I want you to know, like, if they're not a Christian yet, they're not following by the same playbook you're following. And so we should not have the same expectation on them that we have on ourselves. And also, we compare their sin to our goodness. Now, you'll notice this. We love to compare ourselves among ourselves, especially when someone has a bigger sin problem than us. And what I find is, it's not necessarily a bigger sin problem, it's just a different sin problem than us. Because we all have sin. We're all broken. We all need Jesus. But I think sometimes what we do is, and this is exactly what the Pharisees were doing when they referenced these disruptible sinners and tax collectors as scum, what they were doing was they were comparing their goodness to that other group's sinfulness. What's amazing is those Pharisees were just as sinful. They had made just the same amount of mistakes. It's just packaged up a different way. So as a friend of sinners, I think it's really important that you understand that Jesus welcomes you with grace, not judgment. And the fourth thing is, what Jesus really wants is he wants your heart, not just your habits. You know, the Pharisees were committed with their habits. I mean, they would perform outward sacrifices, and they would show up to the temple every day to worship God. And they would do these things, but all they were outward habits that God had not really changed their hearts. And I want to caution you, the longer you follow Jesus, the easier it is to slide into this place where you just have the habit of reading your Bible or the habit of praying. And these are great habits to have, or the habit of showing up at church, or the habit of serving at church, or the habit of giving at church. Like, these are all great habits to have. But God isn't interested in your habits. What God wants is your heart. That you would say, God, you can have all of me, not just a fraction of me, not just the Sunday version of me, but God, you can have all of me. And that's really what lordship looks like. He's either God of it all or not God at all in your life. And so I just need you to understand, man, God wants your heart, not your habits. In fact, Jesus quoted Hosea chapter 6, verse 6. He says, go and learn what this means, right? And he goes on to say that I desire not your sacrifice, but your mercy. And what he's saying is, I want your heart. I want you to extend love and grace and mercy to other people. That you can't love God and refer to people as scum at the same time. So some next steps for you to consider today. Pray for 5 people that are far from God. I think that, like, as we enter into the Easter season, don't we want our friends, our neighbors, our coworkers, the people that we know, to know the same truth about Jesus that we know? And so would you begin to pray about, like, who are 5 people that you know? And take your phone out and scroll through the text messages over the last week or over the last month of people that are far from God. And those are the people, they're in your contact list, and they need to hear about Jesus. And so will you not only pray for them, but would you also find a way to serve them, like literally serve one of them from that list this week? Like, just go, okay, I'm going to find a way to drop off a meal for that person. I'm going to find a way to show an act of kindness towards them, pick up a cup of coffee at Starbucks and serve them in some way. But, like, find a way to do that. And then ultimately, for those of us that are following Jesus, we got to repent of our own judgmental heart. Maybe you've found yourself kind of like the Pharisees, and you've referred to people or segments of people, and maybe you didn't use this word, scum, but you've looked at them and you've judged them and you've looked at that, man, they're the bottom of the bottom. Here's what I need you to understand. We're all at the bottom of the bottom. Every single one of us need Jesus. Or maybe today, it's just time for you to accept the fact that Jesus wants you. What I love about Matthew is here's this man who his whole life longed for something more. We don't know a whole lot about Matthew's story pre-Jesus, but we know that day he's sitting at a tax collector booth and he's feeling very unfulfilled. And the moment that Jesus says, come and follow me, be my disciple, He drops it all and follows Jesus. And his life would never be the same as a result. And I wonder today, is today your day? Is today your day that you realize that this friend of sinner, this Jesus, could love you? And not only could he love you, he does love you. Are you ready to receive that gift of salvation today? The gift that God gave with his one and only son, Jesus. When Jesus came to this earth, walked among us, performed miracles, taught some great stuff, went to the cross for our sins, and resurrected 3 days later. Maybe you've never made Jesus the Lord of it all. And I want you to know today, you can make that decision right now in this very moment. In fact, you can pray a prayer with me, and the prayer would be just like this. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes with me for a moment? You could pray this prayer and receive Jesus today. God, I admit that I need you. God, that even in all my good works, my righteous deeds, I could never be right with you on my own because of my sin. But God, I believe that you sent your only son to die on the cross for all of that stuff. God, I confess today, you and only you to be my Savior, but also my Lord, the one that would call the shots from here. Thank you for saving me and for making me a Christian. It's in Jesus' name we pray this. Amen. Man, if you just prayed that prayer, we would love to celebrate with you. In fact, last week somebody texted the word yes to this number, 636-336-2475. That's the number, 636-336-2475. And man, we would love to celebrate with you again this week. Maybe you said yes to God. We would love to help you take next steps as you meet, know, and follow Jesus. And so I want to invite you to also join us in person sometime on our normal Sunday morning, 8:30, 9:45, or 11 o'clock, and you're always welcome here at Grace River Church. God bless. Have a great day.
I hope that you enjoyed today's message. I pray that you were able to take a next step in your spiritual journey of what it means to meet, know, and follow Jesus. I want to say thank you again for joining us, and I want to invite you back here next Sunday. If you call Grace River Church your home, I want to encourage you to give as well. Giving is an amazing next step that we can all take. And you can do that by going to graceriver.cc/give. Again, I hope that you enjoyed today. We'll see you back here next Sunday.